Hear the word of the Lord. Now the whole earth had one language, and the language in the same words. And as the people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let's go down there. Go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word. Lord, may the message that we are about to hear, may it just be a blessing on our hearts. We thank you for the faithfulness of Pastor Tim in this study to help make the word, your word, hopefully a little bit more understandable. And Lord, may it just be a blessing to our hearts, Lord. I pray for those who couldn't be here. May your hand be on them today. And we just thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Genesis chapter 11, just what Tim read, is where we will be this morning. As we continue, how do you see God, wrong views of God that discourage, defeat, and destroy? Interesting passage today, as we just obviously just heard. Been looking at these different questions, different thoughts that people have about God that are totally wrong. Today we're going to see the thought that God cannot satisfy my life. How can a life lived for God satisfy the longings of my soul? How can there be passion, excitement, thrill, purpose, fulfillment, living for God, denying self and living for another person and living for the other persons that live for God? You know, compared to fame and stardom and celebrity status, the Christian life just doesn't seem too thrilling, does it? Our world is just enamored with celebrities, with professional people who are well known. Recently, one football player is dating a country singer. I guess she's a country singer. And that's all the world is talking about, and how they fly in their multi-million dollar jets, and when she's at the game, the cameras are up there, and it's as if people just, that's the life, that's it. That's where life must be, to go where you want, buy what you want, be popular. Many children, teenagers live with that lie, that life and fulfillment is accomplishing great things and being known by others and being in the magazines, being on TV, being the king, being the queen, all of these things are lies. It's not wrong to be a good football player. It's not wrong if the school votes you king or whatever. And it's those things aren't wrong, but it's just like in the days of Noah. If they're done without God, they're nothing. They drive you further away. Living for God seems like a waste. Seems like a boredom. To many, it seems like just monotonous, day in, day out, droning or surviving. That's what the world teaches us. Many people believe God simply cannot satisfy their soul. They're always reaching for something else, some other goal to meet my needs, and it always falls short. In fact, I believe that even a life lived for God as best as we can by His grace, we're always going to feel a little short. Why? Because we're sinners. And I believe that the longing in us is to be with Christ where He is. So it's always going to fall a little short. But I would rather fall short on that end than the other end. Some people believe fulfillment comes from self-exaltation. And the exaltation from other people lifting us up. And you may never know that that's in this context of chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, but it definitely is. As these people were migrating along and basically proved from their decisions that they rejected God's way, because God's way wasn't good enough. It can't satisfy us, and it cannot lift us up to the status that we think is ours in this life. So let's go through this passage that Tim read for us and see in verses 1 to 4, first of all, trying to find significance and achievement apart from God. Some scholars believe it's been about 100 years since the flood, since they got out of that boat and began to migrate along 100 years. So this is 2023, would have been like 1923. Doesn't sound like that long ago. Some of you were in high school then, I know. And some estimate that at this time, possibly there were about 30,000 people on the planet. And we're not going to go through all of that. That's just an estimate of that. And so, but they are traveling to the east, and they find the plain of Shinar, which is now Iraq, and they settled there. And the interesting thing about these people in verse 1 is, Moses highlights here as he wrote it, they only had one language. Every single person spoke the same exact language. So they are unified. They are unified to be able to travel together, to communicate together, and that's exactly what they did. They stayed together, and they traveled together, and as they got to this one plain of Shinar, they decide, let us stop filling the earth, let us build a city, let us build a tower, so we can make a name for ourselves. The sad part here is, that sounds like, well, what's the big deal? Well, they're disobeying God's law, to Eve and Adam and to Noah, but they are also unified in their rebellion. They are joining together in their rebellion. What did God tell Adam and Eve, and what did God tell Noah when he got off that boat? Fill the earth. Multiply. Fill the earth. That was their command. So my glory can go out to more and more and more people all over this beautiful land, God says, that He created. Now you have to understand this. Genesis 11 comes after Genesis 10. We got that, right? But chronologically, Genesis 11 is before Genesis 10. Genesis 10 is the table of nations, and as each of these people groups migrated, it says they each had their own language, this had their own language, this had their own language. So they're chronologically not in order. So Genesis 11 tells us how Genesis 10 got here. So now they all have one language, they are disobeying God, and they stop in this land that more than likely a guy named Nimrod founded. He is believed to have been the mastermind of this city and of this tower. And this city plays a key role all through the scriptures. You're familiar with Babylon, correct? Very familiar. All through, from Genesis to Revelation, we have Babylon. In fact, Revelation 17:5 says, Babylon is the great mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. here at the Tower of Babel, all they wanted to do was stop and make a city. Have a few McDonald's, you know, have a gymnasium, some Bob's Gyms, you know, and have a few funeral homes there and build this city and build this beautiful worship center. What could be wrong with that? But the scriptures say that that gave birth to all the false religions, the mother of prostitutes, and all of earth's abominations came from this start in Genesis chapter 11. It all started when a group of people didn't believe God could satisfy them. They needed to make a name. Did you see that? In verse number 4, they said, come. Well, verse 3, come, let us make bricks, burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. That's their heart. We need to go away from God, and we need to lift ourselves up lest we be dispersed like God told us to do. Now, there's some things that have to be highlighted in these verse, couple of verses, 3 and 4. Did you notice the evil unity? Over and over, they said to each other, let us make bricks. Let us build a city. Let us build a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we, see the plurals there? It is an evil unity. You see next that they had some great abilities. Isn't it amazing? I mean, just 100 years after the flood, they're able to make bricks. They were able to build these, I think they're called ziggurats, is that correct? And you see them all over that area of the world even today. I mean, that's pretty significant what man can do, even apart from following God. So they've got human abilities, but they're doing it apart from God. All of us have human abilities. Some have musical abilities. Some have abilities to build and serve. Some have abilities to administrate. God gives us all a gift. And even our talents, if we have talents, in God's view, they're nothing if not used for God. That's what was going on here. Thirdly, you see pride and desire for glory. Did you notice that it said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens? Now you read that and you think, let's make it as tall as we can. Let's just make it extremely tall. In fact, I saw a picture this last week of the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan? And the clouds had come down and just kind of hid the bridge. I don't ever want to go on that bridge. I think I'd get the willies, whatever willies are. It was going to be tall, but this is spiritual here. Let us reach to the top of the heavens. Let us put man above everything else. Let man decide what religion is. Let man decide what glory is. Someone said the aim was not to reach physically into heaven. Rather, it represented the realm of the gods and allowed man to be the master there. The top tower asserted that man, not the Lord, dwelt in the realm of heaven in order to displace God, just as all false religions do. This was their rallying point of oneness and purpose. We will build a tower and we will get rid of God. That's exactly what people do today. Because this Christian life is boring. It's day in, day out faithfulness. I want the glamour. I want to be seen as somebody who achieves great things. I think that's why many churches turn to entertainment and try to create emotion and try to create an experience, trying to strive for that rather than just being faithful. You know, as I thought about this, as they're rallying together, how many people have ruined their lives because they got into a group? They decided to join the us. They decided to join the crowd. To be accepted. Proverbs 1 says this, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Verse 8 reads on, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. So the writer of Proverbs says, be careful who you hang out with. You realize that you become who you hang out with? The bad will rub off on you much worse than the good. That doesn't sound right. Much greater than the good will rub off on you. complainers and backbiters and gossips and liars and laziness for some reason. Hey, well, they got away with it. Why can't I? Be careful. So we have this group of rebels who decide to disobey God. And that's the fourth thing in these verses 3 and 4. It always leads to disobedience. Notice what their goal was. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. God told Adam and Eve, you have a bunch of babies. You fill my earth with my glory so they can know me. God told Noah and his wife, and I'm sure he told his sons and daughters, fill the earth. That was the mandate. You fill it. But notice what rebellion does. We don't want to go anywhere. Let's just stay right here. And you could picture 30,000. I mean, that's nothing for a football stadium today. How much does Ohio State hold? Over 100,000? So 30,000, even plus. You know, Nimrod must have been a good leader, and he probably had leaders around him. So you can just picture all of these people. This sounds like a good idea. Who wants to keep filling the earth? Who wants to separate? Let's just stay together. We can be a strong force together. Now, notice this. Whenever we seek a name for ourselves, we automatically turn away from God. Whenever I want to be lifted up, whenever I want to be the celebrity, whenever I want to have my way, I automatically turn away from God. Now, isn't it interesting? This popped in my head, and I thought this was so amazing, the contrast. Noah builds this massive boat for the glory of God. These people are building this massive structure for the glory of man. Wow, what a question for us. How am I building my life? For the glory of God or for the glory of me? You know, I did it my way song is the melody is really gripping. But when you really analyze the words, they're not good. They're not good. Do we want to build our lives that people can say that person's different, that person glorifies God, or do we want to go back to Babel again and so people can lift us up? Boy, you're great. You can do this. And it boils down to this every time. Glory of God or my own glory? What are our goals and desires as we build our lives? What do we want people saying about us when we're over at the funeral home and it's time for the service and the preacher says, we'd like to give an opportunity for anybody to come up and share? I've heard some doozies, I'm telling you. And a lot of times, it makes me sad. It makes me sad to not hear somebody say, this man pointed me to God. This man loved God's word. This woman loved the Lord. This person behind me was a living example. Oh, they weren't perfect. What do we want when people, I mean, what are they going to put on our gravestone? Here lies Fred. He is now dead. This popped in my head. Hey, head rhymes with Fred too, right? Okay, sorry. I mean, who do we exalt in our life? When people think of us, do they exalt? What's the foundation of our life? And you realize that whatever our foundation is, everything is built upon that. That doesn't mean that we can't have this occupation and that occupation. It doesn't mean that we can't have hobbies. God is to be the foundation of all that we do, whether it's a hobby or a job or whatever. Who do we desire to lift up? Now, I couldn't help to be reminded of another Babylonian story. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember what he did in chapter 4 of Daniel, verses 28 to 35? He was walking out on the roof of his palace in Babylon. Yes, the same place the Tower of Babel was built. And he said, is not this great Babylon which I built with my mighty power, my power, as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While these words were still in his mouth, a voice fell from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And remember what God did to him? made him turn into like an animal. And finally, he came to his senses and said, God, you are God, and no one else. Isaiah says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. And that's exactly what they were doing here in Babel, trying to glorify themselves and not glorifying God. Yeah, but that life doesn't look very exciting. A lot of teenagers struggle here because, you know, the Christian life doesn't look very exciting. But boy, the celebrity life looks exciting. The rock and roll life sure looks exciting. The TV life looks exciting. Just another lie from Babel. Trying to find significance apart from God. Now, secondly, failing to find significance from achievement proven by God. This is amazing. Someone said, the attempt to bring heaven to earth on man's terms always fails. We want to bring heaven down here to earth. No, it always fails. Now, the Bible uses a thing called anthropomorphism. You learned a big word today. That simply means that the writers of Scripture use terms of human hands and eyes and things for God so we could understand. God has no hands, Jesus does, but God has eyes in the sense that he can see, Jesus does. And that's what is used here. And so in verses 5 to 10, we find out the Lord came down to see the city. God's everywhere present at the same time. It's language that we can understand, which the children of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are as one people. They all have one language. Verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language. So going down and seeing are anthropomorphisms that help us to understand that God now sees, and God's done, and God's had it, and God's going to move. Okay? Someone said, here is man's great tower, reaching skyward to declare his usurping of heaven. Yet when the Lord appears to consider man's great achievement, he has to stoop down to see it. I thought that was good. Man says, I am building so high, and look at what I've built. Look at my trophies. Look at my medals. Look at all my accomplishments. Wow, and the whole world looks and says, man, you are great. But God is so high, he has to stoop down to see the greatest thing we could ever do. So now he's going to move. It's interesting to see the same phrase. Look in verse 4. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves. But look what God said. He said the same thing. God said, let us go down and confuse their language. And so, in other words, you can have as many people as you want. You're not going to beat God. You're not going to beat God. God always wins. So in verse 6, there are some key things to highlight. They're unified. They are one people. It tells us. They still have one language. They all spoke the same language. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like for missionaries to have to skip 3 years of language school? I mean, can you imagine? You know, I have a thing on my phone, and I use it at the hospital. Like if I had a patient that spoke whatever, and I couldn't understand them, I could translate it on my, really pretty cool. A nurse showed me. It's really kind of neat. I still can't speak it, but I can at least look it up. Wouldn't that be neat? Well, everybody, all these thousands of people spoke the same language. But notice what God said in verse 6. They all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. That doesn't mean that God's biting his nails and going, oh my, if I don't stop this, they're going to beat me, oh my. Uh-uh. This is grace. This is God's grace saying, if I let them continue in this rebellion, the rebellion will only get greater, and it will be, in our human language, harder and harder to reach them. This was judgment with grace. His concern was not what man would achieve against God, but what man would do to himself in the blind folly of their unbelief, someone said. You know, I discovered something about myself that maybe you've discovered. And it was just a few weeks ago that it kind of dawned on me. You know, I'm pretty good about giving grace to people who give me grace. I'm pretty good about that. But when it comes to somebody who has lied about me or used me or hurt me or done something like that, I discovered about myself, I'm not so easy to give grace to them. And guess what? You're just like me. And this is amazing. It's just 100 years after God brought that flood. And here they go again. And it started way before the 100-year mark. And God is going to judge them, but God is still going to give them grace. Isn't it amazing? How did his grace come? Well, if he'd have wiped them all out for good, we've got no seed from Genesis 3:15. Just like the seed of the woman got on the ark and sin got on the ark, God is preserving his seed right here in what he is about to do. So verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language. What genius! I would have just knocked down the building. You know, like when you were a kid and your brother built this Lego town, what's your job as the brother? You got to go in and knock that sucker down in any way possible. Now, if you're smart, you get the dog to follow you, so the dog knocks it down, then you can blame the dog. I'm a pro at this, okay? But why not just knock down the building? Let me ask you this. If you knock down their building, do you change their heart? Have you ever been walking along or in your backyard and you see an anthill and all of these ants are just scurrying along? Whatever ants talk like, I'm not sure. You ever just, you know, knock the anthill? You go back an hour later, and that Tower of Babel anthill is built again. It's amazing. I heard one comedian, forgive me, but who said, have you ever seen an anthill? And then he said, they just start scurrying along, they just start building again. Wouldn't it be awesome if just one ant would go, man, I can't believe it, you know? But no, they just start building again. God wanted to reach their heart, and God wanted the earth filled to spread his glory because his seed needed to spread by his plan. Someone said this, a powerful truth they needed to grasp was that you cannot fight against God and win. You cannot set up your life and your goals and your desires for glory apart from a relationship with him and expect to succeed. You can have all the trophies and all the accolades and, you know, when your funeral comes, you can have 3 days of visitation because you are so popular, you know, and you can be lifted up and be in the paper and everything, but apart from God, you die and it's gone. It's interesting that the term Babel in this culture meant gate of the gods. God changed it. God said, let us go down and confuse their language. Let's see. Confusion. Now it means confusion. To them it was, this is where you find fulfillment. God says, no, this is just confusion. And again, they were told, they left verse 9, it was called Babel because the Lord confused the languages. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. God accomplished his purpose to spread the seed. Wow, how amazing. Now, can you imagine what it was like in verse 7 to confuse their language? I mean, you know, it's just like, Ron, I need a hammer. Yeah. Guy, I need a saw. Alan, I need a number, oh, did they have metrics back then? I need a number 12 wrench. Bring the power tools. I need a sledgehammer. Everybody's just going to town, just like the little ants. And all of a sudden, you're trying to yell at Alan, I need a sledgehammer, and what comes out is, and Alan goes, the or whatever, you know? I mean, and all of a sudden, well, Alan, what is the matter with you? And then all you're hearing from me is, you know? And then somebody way over there goes, you know, or whatever. I mean, it'd be crazy. Can you imagine that? I mean, what if all of a sudden we sang our first song and there were 30 different languages singing, you know? Can you imagine, what did we sing today? Was it Bethlehem or whatever it was? Little town of Bethlehem? I mean, how many words for Bethlehem would come out? You want me to try? No, I won't try. What a genius plan. So now I'm trying to get the wrench from Alan, and he's going, dong, 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 you know? And then, you know, maybe kind of goes, there's languages that do that. I mean, isn't it amazing? Also, you see the amazing creativity and imagination of God to know all those languages. And I'm sure as it went on, people added different dialects of it. I think in the Philippines, there are, unbelievable dialects just for different small sects of people. And so we can't keep building because I can't give Alan to give me the right wrench. And I can't give Ron to give me a hammer. He brings me a shovel. I hit him with it. Well, he's going, dong, dong, dong. I'm going, you know, whatever it is. And so now, obviously, there were, I don't know how big, but smaller groups of people who spoke the same language. So now you're going along, and all of a sudden, you're muttering to yourself, dong, 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 dong. Somebody goes, understands what you're saying. And so in time, they would have got together, correct? And so what did they do? They did exactly what God wanted. Those groups of people went here and here, and that's Genesis 10. They tell us where Shem went and all the other families, the table of nations. God accomplished his purpose. What was his purpose? To keep his seed going from Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, which would eventually be Jesus Christ. Wow, isn't that? I think that is amazing. But we read verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. Why have that verse next? Right after this mess, this rebellion of unity against God, who was Shem? It was one of Noah's sons. But who else was Shem? Listen to Luke 3:38. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And in Luke, it starts with Jesus and works its way back to Adam. Verse 38, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Why is Seth mentioned here first? Because we are told that the seed of the woman, which was in Seth, who was in the line of Jesus Christ, is still going, and he's going to migrate where God sends him. Isn't that amazing? God preserved his seed out of sin to redeem us. Well, let's land the plane. When will we ever learn that we'll never achieve full joy and purpose and peace and have our inner longings met apart from Christ? And again, we'll always fall short on this planet. There'll always be this, because we're made to long, I think, to be with Christ. And it goes back to the parable of the house built on the sand and the rock. Whoever listens to my words is like the man who built his house on the rock. The storm came, the floods came, and he stood. You build your hands on Tower of Babel, your house on the Tower of Babel. The storm, the same storm comes, the same flood comes, but you die. That's the story of the whole Bible. And everyone is still seeking, Genesis 11, to make a name for themselves. I wonder how many millions have been shocked, who have been elevated on earth, only to die and to not be in the presence of Christ. They make up their own gods. They run away from God. It all started here in Genesis 11. Believing God can't satisfy, God can't meet my needs. God is not where it's at, maybe. God provided his son to give us all the things we need. He came through the seed. Listen to Psalm 107, then we'll put up one slide and be done. Talking about God's people. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. They were hungry and they were thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Who wants that kind of life? Give me the life that's got everything. All the toys money can buy. Celebrity, popularity. Look at God's people wandering. Can't find a city. They're hungry. They're thirsty. I don't want that. Their soul is fainting in them. But then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Now listen to the reason. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. These people were trying to fill their soul, and they ran away from God. And the truth of Scripture is, he will satisfy your longing soul. I don't know how people make it in this world without the Lord. I honestly don't. So here's the question. You fill in the blank. I believe blank satisfies my longing and hungry soul. Now, we all struggle with that, don't we? Even if we're following Christ, we still struggle. What would go in that blank? What a great reminder today that he satisfies my soul. In all that I have to do in this life, my job, my responsibilities at home, responsibilities as a parent, as a grandparent, your service in Christ's church, mowing your grass, whatever we do, can still be done for God's glory, because he is the only one that satisfies our soul. Father, thank you for preserving your seed out of rebellion. Thank you for raising up a remnant amongst thousands who turned away that followed you. Forgive us when we go astray and we believe this, and this is happiness. This, and this will give me fulfillment. This, and this will make my life complete. When it all boils down to Christ and living for him is what fills our soul. Thank you so much. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. This is a new song, by the way, but it's real easy to pick up, and the words are just absolutely amazing. Friends Church months ago, and they sang that. So I took the paper and said, Abby, let's sing this. And what a great song for this message. Let your glory be filled in all the earth. Go out there and fill my glory. Don't just pack it in evil. Stephen, would you close us in prayer, please?